Welcome to the Humble Hoof Podcast. My name is Alicia Harlov. This is a podcast for both horse owners and hoof care professionals, offering discussions into various philosophies on the health of the hoof and soundness of your horse. Please check us out on Facebook or at thehumblehoof.com. A special thank you to our wonderful sponsor, Cavallo. For our Humble Hoof listeners, they are offering 15% off their Cavallo Trek hoof boots using the coupon code HRN at checkout. The Trek is the world's most popular and versatile hoof boot and Cavallo's toughest trail boot, while also doubling as an option for therapy or rehab. The front closure system makes it easily adaptable to various hoof shapes, and TPU upper design allows for maximum strength while minimizing weight for the comfort and ease of movement for your horse. These are recommended by vets and trainers and also loved as transport boots by barrel racers, show jumpers, dressage riders, and everyone in between. Again, for 15% off a pair of Treks, use the code HRN at checkout at cavallo-inc.com. A huge shout out and thank you to Surefoot Equine and Wendy Murdoch for sponsoring our 2025 Humble Hoof Podiatry Clinic here in Massachusetts this October. It is sold out, but we do have a video recording option available on my website at thehumblehoof.com/shop. Surefoot Equine is a staple here at my hoof rehab facility. We use Surefoot pads for our rehab cases to get these horses not only comfortable for standing for their trims, but to help them figure out their proprioception, to get them comfortable to release some of their soft tissue up their body, and also to decide how these difficult cases might want to balance their feet in order to open up their joint spacing up their limb. So I use these Surefoot pads nearly every single day here, and they have been a game changer for so many cases where we couldn't figure out how to get them sound otherwise. So a huge thank you to Surefoot Equine for sponsoring our clinic, where we'll be able to use the Surefoot soft radiograph blocks to determine how a horse might adjust their own balance. We're doing so much more in the clinic, so be sure to check it out on the website to see if you'd be interested in joining us virtually, or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com to be added to the wait list to come in person. I spend a lot of time on social media seeing how other people accomplish soundness in various lameness cases across the world. And something that I've noticed over the last decade or so is Dr. Ralitza Hill, who has incorporated acupuncture into a lot of her lameness cases. I'd always wondered, how does this work? And how do we know what it's doing? Or is there really any science behind it? And I reached out to Dr. Ralitza to see if she would talk to me, and she agreed. She went in depth into various studies and research on acupuncture, as well as some cases that she saw incredible improvement with it. For those of you that haven't heard of acupuncture, it's a traditional Chinese medicine technique that involves taking these really thin needles and putting them into specific points in the body to stimulate them. And they're left in for a little bit of time before being removed. And it is said to relieve pain and treat a whole bunch of conditions. Anecdotally, it's been said that it can work as quickly as, 30 minutes, or may take a few sessions. With people, it's used for everything from pain relief to GI issues to mental health, and it's been now used with horses for quite a while as well. But I've never been too sure how it works. Like, why does putting a little needle into one area of the body affect another area of the body? So when I was interviewing Dr. Ralitza, I asked her some of these questions that I had about acupuncture and why it might work and what does it do. So why don't you start, and if you want to say a little bit about your background and how you became interested in alternative therapies with horses.
Hi, so my name is Ralitza Goncharova-Hill. I'm a vet, a holistic vet, you can say. Originally, my childhood dream was to become a vet, and I really loved horses when I was a kid, so I decided I'm going to be an equine vet right off the bat. I graduated from veterinary university in Bulgaria. And then I went to Germany. I spent some time there because I wanted to practice especially equine medicine. And that's where I met another vet who was practicing acupuncture on horses. And I'd never seen it before that point actually being done. I've only heard about it in people. And he actually managed to make significant changes to this one horse that he was demonstrating on. I think the horse had something like sinusitis. I can't really remember exactly what was wrong with it, but what I do remember is that as soon as he treated the horse, maybe about 10 minutes in, all of this discharge and horrible gunk started coming out of its nose. And I thought, well, I'm not sure I can actually do that with conventional therapy and that quickly at that. So I got really interested in what he was doing. And maybe about 5 years later on, I got the chance to graduate myself from Chi University, which at the time was only available in Spain in Europe and is now available in a lot more locations. But yeah, ever since then, I'm doing more courses and expanding my knowledge. And
wow, that's awesome. Yeah. And I honestly haven't had a lot of experiences with things like acupuncture. I did have a horse that I boarded with. So not my own horse, but another horse that was boarding with me that had a really bad founder episode. And there was a veterinarian that came out and did acupuncture with her, and it really seemed to improve her comfort. But that's honestly about as much as I've worked with acupuncture. It's not, I feel like there aren't as many practitioners in my area. And now just reading up more on it, preparing to talk to you, has made me want to look more into it. But can you first start and talk a little bit about what the idea is behind it and how it kind of works?
So we don't know everything about how it works or why it works. We just know that it does. And we know it's an ancient method of therapy, which has been used for at least 3,000 years, if not longer, because there were some recent discoveries that suggest it might actually be about 5,000 years old. Concerning Otzi the Iceman, who is a mummified person found in the ice, and he was about 5,000 years old, and he had some markings or tattoos on his body on actual, all very close to acupuncture points, which is what prompted the question, is acupuncture really originated in China, first of all, and is it really only 3,000 years old and not older? But really, the theory behind acupuncture nowadays seems a bit odd and a bit far removed from the rational, because it talks a lot about energy and meridians, which we're not actually sure are physical and are actually there. But maybe there's things that are yet to be discovered, because there's some research suggesting that meridians can actually be anatomical parts of the body. They seem to be connected to fascia. There's a lot of talk about how fascia helps connect parts of the body that are far away from each other. That's why there's connections between, for example, contralateral limbs when there's a lameness and back pain and problems with the hocks and so forth. And we also seem to be finding a lot more reason why acupuncture points that are further away from the location of pain actually help alleviate that pain. There's some discoveries on acupuncture points on the hands and feet, for example, that are used to treat dementia, which is really interesting. But really, the traditional knowledge is far more detailed than what we have nowadays, and the rational knowledge explaining how everything works. So when I'm talking to my clients and trying to tell them what acupuncture actually does, or I can tell them from a conventional perspective, is that it's really good for inflammation and for pain, because that's what it's been studied a lot in, particularly in human medicine. But that's not all that it does. If we use traditional Chinese veterinary acupuncture, we can use it for absolutely everything that you can think of, and not just for inflammation and pain and lameness, but we can use it for allergic conditions such as COPD, flea itch. We can even use it to treat emotional problems. For example, I've had cases where the horses have been mistreated in the past and they're either extremely worried, or they're aggressive with their owners, or they're just really shut down. Yeah, so it's a really great modality that can be used in almost every case, but I can't exactly explain how it works for everything apart from pain and inflammation.
Yeah. And obviously, you know, the only way we can tell if something's working is seeing the horse, and at least they're honest, because we don't maybe hopefully have the same placebo effect that we have with people. So do you typically see a pretty instant response, or is this kind of a therapy that you have to do over time, or how do you know if it's working?
So if you're using it for pain and inflammation, for example, if the horse has got lameness or navicular or laminitis, generally it takes some time for it to show consistent, very obvious results. Although that's not necessarily the case. I've had cases where the horse is instantaneously better straight after taking the needles out. But to get really, really good results, it takes usually several sessions. Although the more I practice, the more experience I get, I find things that work better and I can get results a bit faster. But generally speaking, most people will say that they see a difference in their horse as soon as the needles come out, up to 3 days afterwards.
Wow, that's awesome. And does the actual act of inserting the needles bother them, or can they feel it? And how far in are you placing them?
So the sensation from acupuncture is very individual. If you ask people who are receiving acupuncture what they feel, some of them will say, I don't feel anything at all. I don't even realize there's something coming into my skin. Some people will feel a little bit of a pinch, and that's usually for the first split seconds. The needle has to pierce the top layers of the skin, and then as soon as it goes into the deeper tissues, the sensation is gone. And for some people, it's a little bit more painful, but that also depends on their mood. If they're stressed and anxious, it hurts more. If they're more tired, it obviously is more painful. As if they're more relaxed and they don't move around, as in if they're laying comfortably, generally it hurts a lot less, if nothing at all. And I think it's the same for animals. For maybe 90 to 99% of animals, it's absolutely painless. With the exception maybe of several points that can be really, really useful. And generally, if they're good for more than one thing that that horse has, they'll be slightly more painful than other points. But not to a degree where we'd have to hold the horse down and tie him down so they will actually stand for it. It's just a little bit of discomfort. But they generally stand really well for it. And if they don't stand well for it, then we can just skip that particular point and move on to something else.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I know that you talked a little bit about the fascia and how there seems to be, you know, I mean, I know that fascia is so important in terms of there's these connections all over the body that can affect other areas. So I know that you're talking about points that can kind of, you know, if you're using an acupressure point or acupuncture point, it affects a different part of the body. I guess this might be a super basic question, but does it have anything to do with circulation or blood flow? Is that something that you're trying to improve, or is any evidence that it helps with that?
It does that as well. There's multiple levels on which acupuncture works, one of which is improving blood flow to the area. And that's one of the first things that happen within the first 2 minutes of placing an acupuncture needle into an acupuncture point. There's increased blood flow to that area, which is also what causes the other physiological effects. There's increased flow of white blood cells to the area, and then there's changes to the nerves in that area. That then a few minutes later, there's changes on a central nervous system level as well. But for example, if we're doing acupuncture on a horse that has laminitis and has had laminitis for quite some time, and there's some damage to the blood vessels of the distal limb, then acupuncture should improve the blood flow, and you can actually feel there's a difference in the temperature of the hoofs themselves.
Wow.
There's some studies that suggest there's also a release of stem cells, particularly in using certain acupuncture points like stomach 36, which is on the cycle in the horse, which is obviously very helpful. For example, if we're treating damaged tissues, like in the case of osteoarthritis or laminitis or even navicular.
Yeah. And I guess that was, you sort of addressed a little bit of what I was going to ask, is obviously my main focus is hoof-based lameness, and the hoof is this, you know, hard structure. So you're not going to be putting acupuncture needles actually in the hoof capsule. So you're just using points that are correlating to the feet to get that response that you want.
There's several ways of practicing acupuncture if we're talking traditional. So you can use local points. So in the case of laminitis, these points will be located around the coronary band. They're also known as ting points, which is not a Chinese name. It's just somebody decided that's what they're called. We usually call them distal points. You can also use other points that relate to the hoof in some way or another. For example, from a Chinese perspective, the liver as an organ in Chinese medicine, as opposed to a physical organ, but an organ in an energetic way, is the one that's responsible for connective tissue, which includes hooves. So we can be treating the liver to help the hooves, or we can be treating the meridians that are affected in the hooves that are damaged, depending if we're talking about the front or the back hoof. they are linked to different meridians. And then if we narrow that down even more, where's the hoof hurt more? Towards the toe, towards the quarters, towards the heels? And then we can choose different meridians to affect that particular area as well.
Wow. Yeah. And I was actually, when I was preparing for this call, looking at different studies, and there are quite a few studies on, I mean, our website would be like PubMed.gov or whatever, that are published research, even relating to things like laminitis, that they've actually had really good results on. And, you know, not that I didn't believe that there was research on it, I just hadn't really looked into it. And I think a lot of the horse population in my area tends to be more skeptical about things that seem a little bit alternative. And it's really interesting how much science there is, you know, behind this. And it's not just some like random idea that somebody had. And so that's really, really interesting. So just because you're mentioning, you know, laminitis and things like that, like I just seen one specific study where there was like a very statistically significant response of decreased pain in, I think it was, now I'm going to try to remember the study, something like, you know, 15 laminitic horses. So that was pretty amazing.
Yeah. They show similar results with studies in humans. Some studies suggest that it's comparable to certain NSAIDs in people. Wow. For pain. I think with animals, it's going to be a lot more honest. You obviously have the placebo effect of the observer, because we have to be observing them and see if there's a difference in how they do, how they move in, for example, or their pain levels. But there's objective ways of testing that as well. And I think some of the studies do prove that there is a difference. There's some other studies on the so-called acupuncture scan, which is something that we use in TCVM, or traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, that is not done in Western acupuncture. And that's basically using, I can't remember exactly how many points, I think it's around 30 points on the actual acupuncture points, which are considered diagnostic for the horse, and going over these points before you start the actual treatment. If there's a reaction on some of these points, as one or as a combination of points, they relate to certain parts of the body. So for example, we have diagnostic points for the front left hoof, for the hocks. Have diagnostic points for the internal organs, so it can tell if a horse has got problems with its liver or its kidneys or its heart, etc. And there's 3 studies on the acupuncture scan, all of which come to more or less the same conclusion, that it's over 80% accurate. And one of the best studies that was done on the acupuncture scan actually showed that if a horse is reactive on these diagnostic points, and then thereafter the certain area that was reactive was tested by the ultrasound or x-ray, or I think it was CT scan, I'm not 100% certain. And in over 88% of the cases, there was corresponding changes, which could explain why these points were reactive.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. And when it comes to like treating them, is it typically something that they need to do regularly, like for the rest of these horses' lives? Or is it something that you have like a set end date of therapy, you know, X amount of visits? Or do you just kind of let the horse, you know, respond and see how they're doing? Or what's your, like, the basic treatment plan, I guess?
That depends very much on what condition we're treating. So for example, if we're treating arthritis, then that's a degenerative change that we can never completely make go away, so to speak. We can never cure it completely. What we can achieve with acupuncture is we can make it manageable, even decrease the symptoms to a point where the horse is not obviously lame and not obviously in pain. And obviously these degenerative changes are still going to be there in the joint. If you x-ray it, they might even worsen. But in the best case scenario, the horse is going to be completely comfortable and not show any signs of discomfort. If we treat in other conditions that can potentially be eliminated, that would be, for example, some of the cases which have had a cure, so to speak. Those have been COPD or allergic conditions such as sweet itch, head shaking cases with different causes. With those ones, you can get such a good result that basically, even if you come back after 5 years, the horse is still absolutely fine. It's got no symptoms after all that time, and wow, you don't need to continue treatment.
That's awesome. Is it kind of like every acupuncture practitioner is going to have a similar approach and results? Or is it like, say somebody had somebody out and they worked on their horse and they didn't see the results they wanted. Is it just something where you keep trying it, or are there different qualifications or different places that certify people? I mean, how do people look for a good practitioner?
So from my perspective, I practice TCVM, which is traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. I don't practice Western acupuncture. And I could be wrong and I could stand corrected here, but I think Western acupuncture predominantly treats just pain by using local acupuncture points. And the courses for Western acupuncture are a lot shorter than the ones for traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. And they don't actually look at the traditional way of viewing disease like we do in traditional Chinese medicine. So we have like a whole theory behind how disease occurs, the pathophysiology of each disease, which is completely different to how it's viewed in conventional medicine. But it's like studying veterinary medicine again when we do in traditional Chinese medicine, whereas in Western acupuncture, I think what they predominantly learn is where the acupuncture points are and how they can use them to treat pain. So that's one major difference between the two schools of thought. So if you're wanting, that's my personal opinion, but if you're wanting to treat something that's different from pain, like, for example, head shaking or allergies, you would need to find somebody that practices traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. Because I've had cases where I've been contacted and the owners have said, I've been in touch with a vet that practices acupuncture, and they said my horse can't be treated with acupuncture for this problem. And this practically isn't a case, any medical issue that we can't treat with traditional Chinese veterinary medicine, because we understand disease and disease pathology from that perspective. So we can basically treat everything, including emotional problems, whereas that's not possible in Western acupuncture.
Wow.
And then there's other differences within how we practice traditional Chinese medicine. For example, so the first course I did was a basic course, which is the absolute minimum that we need to start practicing, to start understanding and using acupuncture on a daily basis. But then I've expanded my knowledge. I've done an equine course, which was concentrating specifically on points that we only have on horses, diseases that only occur in horses, and how to treat those specifically with acupuncture. Then I've done a couple of courses in neurological conditions for animals. So, for example, some cases of head shaking or paralysis or paresis, I've been covered by that. And then I've done what's called the balance method course. And the balance method basically allows us to use just the lower leg or just the head to treat the rest of the body, which has been very helpful for horses that, for example, have a lot of back pain and they won't allow needles to go into the back. I can use their legs and vice versa. So my point of mentioning all of this is that I have a lot of tools in my belt to treat different conditions in different ways, all within traditional Chinese veterinary medicine. And if one practitioner is not able to help with a certain problem, there's several reasons why that's the case. Either they're not experienced enough, as in they don't know which points are going to be the most effective, or there's other reasons why acupuncture is not effective. There's very few of them, but for example would be if there's severe mechanical obstructions or mechanical changes to joints, like in cases of a very advanced osteoarthritis. There might not be an effect of acupuncture because there's so much degenerative changes in the joint that there's nothing to actually help reduce the pain and the inflammation, because it's gone to the stage where it's almost solely mechanical. There's no inflammation to reduce. It's just the joint is changed so much that we can't really affect the pain levels of that animal, for example.
Right, that makes sense. And so if somebody was looking specifically for a traditional Chinese veterinary medicine practitioner, is there a directory that people can look for that, or is it just they specifically search that term?
So the main schools that are internationally known and internationally recognized are the one which I graduated from, which is called the Qi University. They're based in the States, but they have at least one school in every continent. Wow. And now they have even more schools than when I first graduated. They have a find a vet option on their website. You just put your location in and it gives you a practitioner within several miles or several hundred miles, depending on where you live, where there could be somebody close to you. There's a similar option on the IVAS website, which is the International Veterinary Acupuncture Society. And they have a European branch, which is called BEVAS, the Belgium branch of IVAS. And they will have vets who have specialized in acupuncture.
Yeah, actually, I think that my personal veterinarians, if that's the Chi University, if there's one in Florida, my personal veterinarians actually went down to Florida, and I thought it was Chi University, to do a chiropractic course. Do they do chiropractic as well?
Yes, although I don't think they call it chiropractic. They call it medical manipulation.
Okay.
Yeah. But as far as I am aware, it's very similar to chiropractic, although I've not done that course.
Okay, yeah.
I think the first school ever, the first Chi Institute, which is what it was originally, as opposed to university, later on became a university, was actually in Florida. And it was founded by a fourth generation acupuncturist named Dr. Xie.
Yeah, so maybe that's the same one that I'm thinking of.
I think so.
Awesome. And so, you know, obviously we've talked a lot about acupuncture and its sort of like hypothetical sense, but do you have any specific cases in regards to hoof issues that you were really surprised by that maybe did better than you thought, or any examples of success cases?
Yeah, so the cases that can be really rewarding to treat are, for example, the navicular cases, because a lot of the times they take a lot of modalities to come together to be able to have a success story. And in this case, I'm really fortunate to be able to work with Nick Hill, who's my husband, because generally when we have a navicular case, we work on it together. And he deals with the hoof balance and natural hoof care, whereas I provide the anti-inflammatory and analgesic effect with TCVM. And we've done several over the years, but there was one in particular which we sort of almost finished rehabbing recently, which is in Bulgaria. And this man had been suffering with navicular for, I think, about 4 years. And they did all the right things. They had conventional vet out, and she was diagnosed with x-rays. They tried orthopedic shoeing. They tried injections into the joint. I think they did everything that you normally do with these cases. But 2 years later on, there was not much change, and she was so lame that she could not be ridden. And before that, she was used for competition riding. So then they got in touch with us. Nick started to trim her. He said there was huge imbalances in the hoofs initially. So for the first two trimming sessions, he was basically correcting these imbalances in the hoofs. And maybe it took 4 or 5 natural hoof care sessions and several sessions of acupuncture to get that horse completely sound. But she's now sound. She's back to ridden work. She'll probably be back into competitions soon as well. And her owners are extremely happy because it took them less time using this approach to get her sound than it did before with the conventional methods. And she didn't actually ever get sound that way.
Yeah, that's amazing. And it's so funny how a lot of times these kind of methods are sort of like the last resort. And it's kind of unfortunate because often, I mean, I do similar. Like I have a, you know, I look at more like whole horse approach to hoof care. And a lot of times I get people that come to me because all the traditional ways that they're doing things haven't helped. And then often we see these cases that have been written off as needing to be, you know, retired or euthanized, come back to work. And the owner's like, oh my goodness, why didn't I start with this? And it's kind of funny that it ends up being this last resort when I wonder how many, you know, more horses could be helped if it was sort of a starting point of a less invasive way to try things.
Yeah, exactly. I'm thinking of a similar case that we had with Nick in the UK, which was a laminitis case. And our horse was stuck in a stable for about 2 years in deep bedding because that's what the conventional vet recommended. And I don't blame them because that's the current thinking behind rehab in laminitis cases. If they're really sore, they need to be in deep bedding. They shouldn't be moving too much. But actually, if it's been that long, like in that case, you really need to change something because it's obviously not working, whatever you're doing at that stage in time. So what we did, that horse wasn't shod. He was still barefoot, but there was a lot of imbalances in the hooves because of where he was standing, because he wasn't moving enough. And so Nick trimmed it. We did an acupuncture session and we said to the owner, look, we want to just see what it's going to do if we give it a chance to go outside and if it's going to want to walk and move. And if not, you know, you can always bring it back in. We just want to see if this has done anything for this horse, because before he wouldn't even put a foot outside. He would leave the door open to the paddock and he would just stare outside, not even dare set foot outside. And then after the session, we just opened the door and the horse straight away went out. He was obviously hobbling still. It wasn't fantastic, but he did want to move.
Yeah.
And he just went outside and he just walked and walked and walked. And the owner was amazed because for 2 years, that horse wouldn't even do anything. He was just mostly standing in that stable.
Wow. Yeah, that's amazing. Awesome. So is there ways that you monitor their comfort? Like how could I, as like a hoof care provider, if I have a client that's using acupuncture, how can I keep track of whether that's improving their condition other than just the obvious pain? Like what if something's more subtle?
Yes, we combine the acupuncture scan with Nick with hoof wear patterns a lot.
Oh, yeah. So like in terms of you've seen the wear patterns change with acupuncture?
So there's several different ways that we do it. Usually he either does the hoof wear pattern schematics first, as in he checks how the horse is moving. He sort of comes up with a suggestion. Maybe this horse has got pain in this limb or its back based on the hoof wear patterns. And then I would go over the horse with the acupuncture scan and either confirm or deny what he's just found with the hoofs. And a lot of the times we find that there is a connection between the hoof wear patterns and the acupuncture scan, as in what he seems to find in the how the horse is wearing his hooves and what I find in the scan seem to make a lot of sense. And usually with the acupuncture scan, we find a lot more, but it all shows in the hooves. Or the other way around that we do it is we do an acupuncture scan, then he trims the horse, particularly if it's not done by him or not done for a while. And then I'll do a second acupuncture scan afterwards. And a lot of the times, maybe 80% of what was found that was painful or where the horse had discomfort in certain joints is gone away after the trimming.
Wow, interesting. And is that something that you then use that hoof wear schematics to kind of keep track of and assess how they're moving and how that's improved?
Yes. So we use them to even to check how effective the acupuncture treatment has been. So ideally, you don't want to see irregular hoof wear patterns every single time you go and see that horse. In an ideal world, the horse needs to be wearing his hooves evenly all the way around. A lot of the times that obviously doesn't happen. But what you want to be seeing over time is that these wear patterns are less obvious, less apparent. You don't want to see any obvious discrepancy. And if you're using a treatment modality such as acupuncture, the less obvious these wear patterns are, the more obvious it becomes that the treatment has been successful and that the horse is doing better and it's moving more straighter.
Yeah, and honestly, I mean, not in regards to acupuncture, but in regards to when I'm working with a hoof or horses and I'm seeing changes in their wear patterns, I typically also do similar where I want to see less distortion or less like skewed hoof wear patterns over time to know that they're moving more balanced. So I think that's super valuable that Nick has that. And that, you know, I know he's done webinars for the hoof care organization I'm a part of, PHCP, and he's had clinics that he's organized with that. So that's really awesome that he's, you know, able to train others to look for that and something to keep in mind to know how the horse is moving. So I know that's a little side note, but I really appreciate that.
No, it's helpful to me as well, because a lot of the times we would work together and I would see something on the acupuncture scan and I'll say, can you have a look at this hoof? Because the horse shows pain to it. And if the pain is still there after he's done the trim, then I would usually suggest that the owner gets an x-ray, because if it's just the way the hoof is wearing that's causing the pain, it should be trimmed away. But if it's still there afterwards, then it means there's a serious problem.
Yeah, that makes sense. Awesome. So in terms of owners that are kind of intrigued or interested in this kind of thing, where would you recommend that they start their research, or I know that you talked about ways to find a good practitioner, but what are some resources that you recommend?
I think they need to find somebody that they can talk about first. They need to discuss their case with somebody and see if they gain enough confidence in them and what their experience is. And if they want to do some research into acupuncture and see if it's effective, then that's a good way to start as well. But the problem is that I don't think there is enough. It is effective. It does work, but it's not being studied enough. There's not enough actual proof, particularly for outside of pain and inflammation. So I think maybe people just need to give it a try. And I usually say to people, do one session or do two or three sessions before you decide that this is not for you. Because 9 times out of 10, there will be a difference. And unless you try it, you don't know.
Yeah, absolutely. Awesome. Well, those are kind of the main questions I had. And, you know, I think that this has given a lot for people to think about and explore. And there's something that, you know, something that I definitely want to look more into now that I've learned more about it through this. So thank you for kind of putting a fire under me to look more into it, just because I knew I was going to be talking to you. So I really appreciate your time and your willingness to explain more about this and, you know, give people that opportunity to learn about it.
No problem. It was good speaking to you.
Yeah, you too. Have a nice day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Bye. I always say that I'm slightly more hoof obsessed than the average person. And chances are, if you're listening to a hoof care podcast, you are too. So we should probably be friends. Feel free to find me on Facebook or email me at thehumblehoof@gmail.com.